Chapter 27. I woke when Rinaldi came in, but he did not talk, and I went back to sleep again. In the morning, I was dressed and gone before it was light. Rinaldi did not wake when I left. I had not seen the Bunzitsa before, and it was strange to go up the slope where the Austrians had been, beyond the place on the river where I had been wounded. There was a steep new road and many trucks. Beyond, the road flattened out, and I saw woods and steep hills in the mist. There were woods that had been taken quickly and not smashed. Then beyond where the road was not protected by the hills, it was screened by matting on the sides and over the top. The road ended in a wrecked village. The lines were up beyond. There was much artillery around. The houses were badly smashed, but things were well organized, and there were signboards everywhere. We found Gino, and he got us some coffee, and later I went with him and met various people and saw the posts. Gino said the British cars were working further down the Bunzitsa at Ravne. He had great admiration for the British. There was still a certain amount of shelling, he said, but not many wounded. There would be many sick now the rains had started. The Austrians were supposed to attack, but he did not believe it. We were supposed to attack too, but they had not brought up any new troops, so he thought that was off too. Food was scarce, and he would be glad to get a full meal in Gorizia. What kind of supper had I had? I told him, and he said that would be wonderful. He was especially impressed by the dolce. I did not describe it in detail, only said it was a dolce, and I think he believed it was something more elaborate than bread pudding. Did I know where he was going to? I said I didn't, but that some of the other cars were up at Caporetto. He hoped he would go up that way. It was a nice little place, and he liked the high mountain hauling up beyond. He was a nice boy, and everyone seemed to like him. He said where it really had been hell was at San Gabriele, and the attack beyond Lom that had gone bad. He said the Austrians had a great amount of artillery in the woods along Ternova Ridge, beyond us and above us, and shelled the roads badly at night. There was a battery of naval guns that had gotten on his nerves. I would recognize them because of their flat trajectory. You heard the report, and then the shriek commenced almost instantly. They usually fired two guns at once, one right after the other, and the fragments from the burst were enormous. He showed me one, a smoothly jagged piece of metal over a foot long. It looked like babbitting metal. "I don't suppose they are so effective," Gino said, "but they scare me. They all sound as though they came directly for you. There is a boom, then instantly the shriek and burst. What's the use of not being wounded if they scare you to death?" He said there were Croats in the lines opposite us now, and some Magyars. Our troops were still in the attacking positions. There was no wire to speak of and no place to fall back to if there should be an Austrian attack. There were fine positions for defense along the low mountains that came up out of the plateau, but nothing had been done about organizing them for defense. What did I think about the Bunzitsa anyway? I had expected it to be flatter, more like a plateau. I had not realized it was so broken up. "Alto piano," Gino said, "but no piano."